Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to class up some wrestling.
Let's try it.
I know.
It always seems like such an arduous task every week, but you know what? We'll do it.
Slodge through.
Because no one else is taking up the torch.
That's right.
No one else at all.
But it's, as Chris so eloquently put it this week, it's Wrestling Christmas.
It is Wrestling Christmas. And I know a lot of people are like, well, what does that make WrestleMania? I don't know.
Wrestling Arbor Day?
Something a little bit more awesome than that.
Wrestling Arbor Day with fireworks? Definitely fireworks.
4th of July. Let's put it that way. Because WrestleMania is a lot more showy.
You still get the day off.
You still get some awesome food. But you don't necessarily have to spend it with family. You could just go over to your friends and have an awesome barbecue with hot dogs.
Yeah.
So, there you go. A friend of mine is going to be happy that I said the word hot dog. But that's an entirely different story. So, that makes sense, right? It's flashy. Whereas Wrestling Christmas and WrestleMania, or Royal Rumble, just seems to fit perfectly.
So much more substance.
Right. And it feels like we're getting all of these gifts that we can enjoy for the next few months.
Yeah.
Right? Because this is the start of the whole WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
So
I like how your article this week is titled Wrestling Christmas, and my article is titled Why John Cena is Ruining the Royal Rumble for Me.
We're gonna get more into this a little bit later, but we all have an idea of exactly where this Royal Rumble is heading towards and how it'll probably end.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not exactly what I would have wanted, but you're not really gonna get what you want all the time, which is probably not the best Christmas message. Especially when the past couple of them, the winners have not really been anything that I've been looking forward to. So I've kind of learned lately that I could still enjoy it with not really being okay with who wins it. Because yeah. I mean, we've talked about Del Rio and Sheamus and how we're not really all that behind them right now. Yeah. But I still dug it. Like, I still, like, Royal Rumble last year was a really good pay-per-view.
I thank Jericho for that, though. We were all assuming was going to win that one.
Okay, well, just for the match, I'm talking about the entire pay-per-view.
Yeah.
In general, like, we got a cage match with Daniel Bryan and Mark Henry and Big Show, and yeah, a lot of people don't, you know, feel negative feelings towards the two big men. But it still was a pretty good match. It had an interesting ending that I, because it's one of those things where I was like, okay, well, how are they going to get out of this? And then you got Punk and Ziggler, which is probably one of the better matches that we've seen the entire year.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a great pay-per-view.
Right.
But, again, I'm just going to give that credit to Punk and Rock. Mostly Punk, but Punk and Rock.
I don't know. This might be one of those things where I'm still more excited about the Rumble match.
I am, but like on principle.
On principle, okay.
Like, I have to be because it's my favorite match and it comes once a year. And it's like on principle, I am more excited about the Rumble. But I'm less excited than I feel like I should be, the thing. And it's literally because it seems so much of a foregone conclusion that Cena's going to win.
Right. An interesting thought that I had, it was a couple weeks ago when I was writing my article, where I went through what I thought the 30-man entrance would look like,
yeah,
about who would be in it, all that stuff. And it's one of those things where it's like, we always have this thought when we get to this time of year, we think about exactly who's on the shows and stuff, and you're like, well, how in the world are they possibly going to get 30 guys, you know, get enough people into this thing? But I got towards the end of my article when I was throwing people in, and I'm like, wow, I'm running out of spots quick.
Yeah.
And actually this year, I think I would have been okay if they went 40 men.
Yeah.
I think they had the talent to pull it off. Some people didn't dig the 40 man a couple years ago, but I thought it was okay.
I thought the 40 man was fine. The 40 man was also with Nexus and Core still being full of people.
Oh, yeah.
So
it almost felt like a necessity at that point.
Like, yeah.
To get those guys plus your regulars.
Right.
I still think it's interesting that they did the whole, like, all three commentators thing last year during a 30-man and didn't even think about doing it the year before.
Well, the 30-man felt a little small, like a little too small because of the 40 man the year before.
Right, right.
And at the same time, it did feel like, why are some of these people in here? Like,
right, and
like
why are some people, why are some people not in there?
Yeah.
As, again, last year, and then something I touched on, last year's WrestleMania was at the peak of the whole Zack Ryder thing, and he wasn't even in it.
Right. So
I thought that was a little messed up. But, you know, I mean, so I don't really have high hopes that he's going to be in it this year.
God.
Zack Ryder. I just got knocked out by Big Show in like 5 seconds.
I miss Zack Ryder.
He hasn't gone anywhere. He's just not on the TV. Like,
I know. It's just like,
and his show's gone.
That was just, it was the thing. It was like, that was the thing where like sheer will and determination was going right. He was going to make it. He was right. Like, the finish line was in sight. Zack Ryder was going to be on TV as, you know, if not a main event superstar constantly, you know, trading title matches with
but at
Cena.
Least, but at like, least be on the TV.
Yeah, be frequently on the TV. And
which he was for like a good 6 to 9 months.
He was in serious, extended, good matches.
Right. He actually, you know, he was given a chance in those matches, whereas before then, he was, you know, he was a squash guy.
Yeah. And then he got fed to Kane to further the Cena career.
Yeah. I mean,
I stand up for Cena a lot more than most people, but I am bitter about Cena right now. So
I know.
Everything.
This is bitter, Joel, guys.
Yeah.
Lord. Just sit back and just listen to this.
Cena ruined Ryder. He's ruining Dolph Ziggler as best he can right now. He's ruined Big E.
Oh, okay. How's he ruined Big E?
Big E is...
Oh, from just, like, kicking out of his ventures already?
Like, his big thing is he's, you know, monster character.
Right.
And he can't even help beat up a beaten-down Cena.
Fair enough.
He ruined AJ, who I still want to be with CM Punk.
You held on to that.
Absolutely. Nothing worked better. AJ with filler...
I thought she worked pretty well with Daniel Bryan. But then again, she wasn't much of a character.
She wasn't a character.
When they were actually together. And then the whole thing was
like, CM Punk was right at the beginning of Crazy Chicks. He was still a face and fun. And so it was just a lot of like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, but at the same time, Face Punk and the Face Punk promos were a little bit more bland than what we usually dig with him.
I mean,
and then, you know, he turned heel and then we get no holds barred, essentially, as far as his...
See, that's what I want, but here's, like, the promo that he gave, the first one against The Rock, that was really, really good, and then The Rock came out
and
ruined
it. And made poop jokes.
Yeah.
Or dick jokes.
But that one was... That was, like, the pipe bomb one, where we knew he wasn't possibly leaving in 2 weeks.
Right.
So it just... I like him better when he's not trying to get the booze, because
right when he's just making it. Because that's the thing. Like, he can sit there and make as many valid points as he wants, and he gets reaction from the crowd, and those forms are fantastic. But and then he sprinkles in the heel pop.
He has to stop what he's doing, which is being on a great roll, to sit there and say, "I sure don't like this town that I'm in."
Right.
So that.
Although I thought the one where they were in Tampa Bay, I thought that was a little bit better than usually.
I mean, it
was just he was drawing an example of the point he was making.
No, I mean,
you know, that instance it was fine, but 9 times out of 10, when he or anyone else does that, it does seem like they're going out of their way from the point that they're making.
Usually they go, "Where do you like to be?" You just hate the world.
His own apartment in Chicago, I guess? I don't know. Or his bus?
Yeah, he just wants to be on
the bus. I don't know. That tour bus looks pretty comfy.
In between cities.
I'd be mad if I ever had to leave my tour bus that looked like that, too.
But, I mean, CM Punk, I really want to be himself, I guess.
Right, which, I mean, from what we've heard from people close to him, we're pretty close.
Like, we're close. Right. And if you would just drop Please Boo Me, I think I'd be fine with everything else.
Oh, yeah. But, and again, you know, they're putting him up against The Rock, so I'm pretty sure that's what's fueling their need to amp up his heel-ness.
Yeah.
You know, because it is The Rock. And we really haven't gotten, you know, we haven't seen Rock work against a flat-out heel.
Right.
Because we still got face Cena
last
time.
So
I don't, you know, I'm okay with it for now. They're going to need to do something different moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay.
Which they might, I mean, they might extend it if Punk goes on to go against Undertaker, they might play it up some more.
I really kind of thought that Undertaker was past fighting heels. Like, just to,
right,
to have any indication that the streak might be broken, like, it needed might to be a face.
Yeah. But again, like, you know, the people he's faced...
I mean, when's the last time he faced a heel? Who did he face before Shawn Michaels? I don't actually remember.
Oh, Lord. Is it Edge?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
It was
WrestleMania 24.
Yeah. It was...
And then, even if it was Edge, you know, was it... I don't know.
Yeah, it was face, Edge. It was Edge.
Was it face Edge or heel Edge?
Yeah, it was heel.
It was heel Edge?
It was heel Edge because that was... When both of them were on SmackDown and Edge and Vicky were still together, they had the La Familia with Ryan Hawkins and Chavo. And yeah, definitely heel Edge. I remember that one for some reason because I remember there was something that went wrong with the fireworks at the end. Mm-hmm. And the fireworks are supposed to shoot like parallel.
Did they hit Jeff Hardy?
No, they didn't hit Jeff Hardy. They went to the fans.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah. You know, setting fans ablaze usually is a little bit more worse than setting your own talent on fire.
Than intentional sabotage for plot development.
I thought that angle was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The whole like Jeff Hardy getting
killed. Oh, I didn't have a problem with it. It was.
I was like, that's different.
It's something, and
how do they figure out, you know, to get him semi unscarred through that?
Yeah, and it's something that you've kind of like waited to happen a little bit.
Yeah,
when all those fireworks explode,
we hear all this time where, you know, Kofi said that he's got one of his dreads singed one time, or
yeah,
there was that one time where again it was Kofi. Like Kofi was coming down the ramp, and he still had that one left boom to go off and. Back when Sheamus was a heel, Sheamus was running after him to attack him from behind, and he almost caught a face full of it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like they've always been on the brink of that happening.
Yeah.
And then for them to like figure out a way to do that, you know, with a guy in the middle and essentially come out okay. Granted, he was probably also high as a kite and was down for whatever. He could have cut off an arm, he would have been okay with it.
Yep. I was impressed. It's interesting. It's an interesting storyline.
Right. Well, until we get to the actual match.
Well,
between him and Matt.
Well, yeah.
At WrestleMania,
every storyline that's who did fill in the blank is always disappointing when you turned out blank did fill in the blank. I sent the text to myself.
Oh Lord. Oh God.
It's that's the jumping the shark of wrestling.
Anytime I get caught red-handed from now on in something, I was like, I sent the text to myself.
No, absolutely. It's the jumping the shark of wrestling. Anytime a storyline has gotten to the point of I sent the text to myself.
Really? Would that be jumping the shark? There's nothing more outrageous and ridiculous.
Okay, outrageous and ridiculous is one thing, but like sheer stupidity phoning it in of finishing up a storyline in the most pointless, ineffective way possible.
Yeah, but isn't the term jumping the shark... reserved for instances where people are, where a show is like on its like deathbed almost, and they have to do something outrageous to get the fans to watch. Hence, jumping the actual shark.
It's
with skis.
I know. I've seen that episode. I've watched the shark jump. It's not bad. It's an okay episode.
It's a lot okay. It's a lot more entertaining than the Arrested Development shark jump. It's literally Henry Winkler just
jumping over a shark. It's that, but it's very important that whatever the stunt is, it doesn't work.
Fair enough.
And that's what texting yourself is. I sent the text to myself. That's my low point of creative. Like, creative has failed in glorious flames before, but, like, this is just the most disappointing thing. What's more disappointing?
Okay. I think the old...
Clearly, Han and Katie Vick are the ones that you're like, it's gotta be those.
Right.
But, like...
I was gonna go towards Katie Vick to being, like, the ultimate chart-jumping moment.
That's a...
Han's another. Like, yeah, Han's pretty probably a very close second to me.
But those are just, like... Okay, the Han is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. And it's been bad for years until we finally got a payoff.
Payoff all these years later?
Yes.
I could accept the Han because it's having written yourself into a corner. Like, because you can tell they're like, let's do this. And like, oh, what happens at the end of pregnancy?
And what's even worse, that happening or them recreating it like a few weeks ago?
I forgot.
Baby New Year.
I forgot Baby New Year.
And we were just supposed to pretend that it wasn't Hornswoggle. And we're not supposed to act like we never saw that photo of Hornswoggle hiding underneath the table from a different angle.
Oh, jeez. No pregnancies.
No more pregnancies?
No more pregnancies.
Because okay, those work out so
well. Blank and statement. That's never worked out.
Because either we get a hand or really awkward, like, losing the baby story.
Like,
and either one of those is horrible. It's like, a horrible direction either way.
I'm even okay with, like, wedding stories, even though they all go terribly wrong. Like, it's a tried and true thing.
True. Oh yeah.
Whatever.
Something's going to happen where the wedding ends up being a disaster. Yeah. Always.
So, but no more baby.
Although stories. I still love that shot of Kane popping his head out from the ring during the wedding. Oh, that was perfect.
I mean, I've never really had a terrible problem with any of the weddings that come instantly to mind.
I openly cursed and threw things at the TV for Teddy Long's wedding.
I don't remember.
I think that was before I started watching.
I was not watching.
It was
during Teddy Long's wedding.
Teddy was marrying, I think it might have actually been his actual wife. She's not on programming anymore. And it was one of those things where, like, it was made a big deal week for weeks leading up to it. Like, it's all they talked about. And then, right when Teddy was supposed to say, I do, he did the classic...
Tag team match?
No. He did the classic, like, clutching for his chest, other arm exchange.
Red Fox?
Yeah, doing the classic Red Fox and then falling to the ground. And then, like, he was off TV for, like, 4 months, and that's what started Vicky Guerrero. Yeah, that's right. He did a fake heart attack.
It's awkward now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really awkward now, and it was really horrible back then, but even more so now. And still, he went, like, in the way, like, he just, out of nowhere, just, like, oh, and fall over.
Like, that's the thing. I've said it before, like, I'm really puzzled as to how Teddy Long became an on-camera persona because he's such a bad actor.
Well, okay, to be honest with you, like, he's been a manager since at least the 80s, I believe. He was the original manager of Mean Mark Calloway. I think it was Mean Mark Calloway.
He managed Mean Mark, but...
I mean, and he went back and forth between being a manager and a ref. And then whenever they brought him back, brought him over to the WWE, they decided, okay, well, he was originally the manager of Mark Henry for a while.
Was he good back then?
I think he was a heel back then. And I don't remember really seeing him much, because I think that was back when Mark was on ECW. So I really didn't see much of it.
I mean, I definitely did not. I have not seen, except for a little bit of archive, which I have not seen Teddy Long stuff pre- Smackdown.
It was nothing groundbreaking. And, like, it was one of those things where it's like he didn't really mind it because he was kind of in the background.
I mind it now.
Then all of a sudden he was, you know, in power at SmackDown. I forget the whole how that ever happened, but it just seemed to just poof, here he is. And he never left. Even now with Booker T, he's still lurking around getting slapped by Eve. and having Booker laugh at it.
Yeah.
And making tag team matches.
Playa.
But at least he can't book people against The Undertaker.
Yeah. This is his wheel of two choices just got halved.
And it's all like 29 selections of tag team matches in that one of The Undertaker.
One on one with The Undertaker. So
Speaking of the big wheel, you know what's coming up?
Raw Roulette.
Raw Roulette in Vegas, because we can't have a Vegas show without a big giant wheel now, can we?
No. Don't be ridiculous.
Obviously not.
Raw Roulette and SmackDown have one. Slots or something? Pull SmackDowns? Randomly? They have a Vegas thing, too.
I thought it was the same, like...
SmackDown Roulette? No.
Well, they might have called it something different, but they saw the...
No, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It just has a different alliteration.
And they always, do a close-up of the top half of the, Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to spoil anything for you kids out there. For one, Santa's not real. Two,
Wrestling Christmas! Wrestling Christmas!
Oh, okay, and two...
Mick Foley is real.
Mick Foley was the Santa Claus. In three, let's say, Monty Teo's girlfriend is actually invisible. Yeah, topical!
Nice.
But, they did the close-up of the wheel as it was spinning, not showing the bottom half, or someone obviously was slowing it down with their hand and then stopping it completely whenever it landed on whatever they wanted it to land on.
Yep.
I still want to see a blindfold match. It never goes to blindfold match.
I would be interested in a blindfold match.
I would like to see a blindfold match between...
anybody.
Daniel Bryan and...
Not anybody. I take that back. Don't do it. Not anybody. I regretted that the moment I said it.
All right. Blindfold match between Big Show and Great Khali.
That was what I was thinking.
But better yet. Great Khali and Tensai. Repeat what we got on Raw.
Yeah, I took it back. I took it back before you said it.
As soon as you had a second to process that thought.
As soon as those words left my lips, I went, no!
I have to catch the balloon before it flies away.
Oh, jeez, no. Oh. I would like to see a blindfold match between very specific people on a limited roster.
Which means we're probably going to get a pillow fight match with the Divas.
Yeah, we're running out of Divas. How many Divas do we have left? Alicia Fox and Caitlyn?
Alicia Fox, Caitlyn,
AJ.
Layla.
Oh, Layla's still around, yeah.
AJ. Oksana.
Is Oksana still around?
Yeah, she had a match. I can't remember if it was SmackDown or Raw. I think it was SmackDown.
It wasn't Raw. It must have been SmackDown. Which I watch highlights.
Rosa Mendez.
Yeah. Has she ever been in a match that wasn't some sort of battle royale or extreme tag team?
So, I'm sure she has at some point, but yeah. Not lately. Yeah. Natalya.
Oh, Natalya. I forgot about Natalya.
Yeah, because she's being arm candy to Khali for some reason.
Yep.
That's all I can think of. Seven.
So, seven Divas.
I'm pretty sure I'm forgetting someone. Tamina.
Oh, yeah, Tamina.
Funkadactyls. One has had a match,
so...
So, we gotta count both of them.
I guess Funkadactyls.
So, that's 10.
10.
That's 10 more than I thought we had.
I know. It's like, I knew that title had to be on somebody. Maybe Triple H's broom.
Oh, Lord. I'm pretty sure that broom could run the ropes a lot better than Kelly Kelly ever did.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure he got as much action backstage.
I was looking up... Okay, so it started, I was looking up... The Rock on IMDb the other day.
Okay.
To try and see. First off, he has like 8 movies coming out this year. That's crazy. He's a
busy man. Oh yeah.
And then I looked, and he has
few of them sound actually pretty good.
No, there's like
one. I think it was called Snitch or something like that.
There's one called Fast and the Furious 6.
I know that.
That one's gonna be good. Yeah.
I mean, Fast 5 was pretty good too.
Fast 5. It's the best Fast and the Furious movie.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But the thing is. He has, like, 162 titles. And I was like, what?
On a fairly, like young...
Young dude, career. Yeah.
A young acting career.
And so then...
That really had... It started, what, 2002?
Well, here's the thing. I looked it up, and Kelly Kelly has, like, 89 acting credits.
They probably threw in...
Every pay-per-view counts.
That's what it is. As, okay.
Every pay-per-view counts as an IMDb title. So there's the ending credits.
There's the catch.
And because they're both not named that, anytime they're on a talk show and not and credited as The Rock or Kelly Kelly, that's also an acting credit and not self credit. Whereas all other actors, it's a self, it's a as themselves credit when they like go on.
So Letterman they go and Conan on and talk shows. She's not called Barbie Blank, and he's not called Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. So they get those as acting credits as well. So everybody, like, yeah, The Undertaker has like 241 acting credits.
Wow, he is a master thespian.
Didn't you know that?
Obviously.
Classically trained. Mean Mark.
I would love to see him on Inside the Actors Studio.
I'd love to see any of them on Inside the Actors Studio. The Rock, we got a chance.
Yeah, Rock, we definitely have a chance.
We could definitely see Dwayne Lord, Johnson anything, inside the Actors Studio.
He's a great interview. Like,
he absolutely is. So I would be really interested in that interview on Inside the Actors Studio.
So would I.
But
oh.
You wanna move to the Rumble now?
Yeah.
Which has been...
Now that I'm lamenting on that.
Yeah.
My mind is just kind of chewing on it.
Be good.
Really good. It tastes like steak and bacon.
All right. Are you going to officially predict John Cena as winner of the Rumble?
We gotta get the rest of the pay per view first.
No, because that was the boring giveaway. Unless you say no, then we'll save
got
it for the
to
end.
Say no. We have to save it for the end because fine. That is the way this show works. Because we are professionals, Joel.
I don't think they're even gonna save it till the end. I think.
Well, they're not as professional as we are, obviously. Okay, so we will predict these in the way it should be booked, because that is what makes sense.
All right.
Because tradition, Joel. Tradition.
Did you just watch Fiddler on the Roof? I saw you posted about it on Facebook.
I downloaded it, and I haven't watched it, but I've been humming the tunes.
Go to your pre-show match.
If I were a rich man. Okay, pre-show, we have the United States Championship match between Antonio Cesaro versus The Miz. What do you think? What are your thoughts?
As always, what I'd really like is a good match. Like, I really want the pre-show to feel legitimate. Like,
right.
If they're trying to get this internet, you know, watch us on the internet, we're relevant thing... Right. And these are two guys who, like, I've totally been won over by Cesaro, and The Miz, they trusted to main event WrestleMania, so, like, they could probably have a very nice 15-minute match.
They could.
Having said 4 minutes.
Yeah. I think they need to cut the Miz-Ric Flair thing, because it's not working for me. Especially when Miz can't even figure out how to do the figure four. That looks so painful.
Here's the thing. I don't like the figure four. I like Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But
if you're going to hand off something that the guy can pull off.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, he didn't even know how to apply it. He was kind of fumbling around. Like, again, it could have been just that one time.
I mean, fine. To be fair, you watched The Miz on his first appearance, and he is stumbling on that mic.
Oh,
and that's probably his strongest thing now.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know.
So, I mean, yeah, he might work at it. He might get better. You know, he's proven himself that he will do what he can to get better.
Yeah.
I fully will give him that credit. As far as this match goes, as far as how I think the outcome will go, it's hard to tell. On the one hand, I don't feel like they would have really anything else for Cesaro to do without the belt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really kind of riding a wave right now.
He is with this I'm not American and I'm United States champion thing.
Right. And it started off kind of lame and worn out, but he's kind of finding a rhythm with it now.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where do we want to take the belt off him now, right before WrestleMania, and let him kind of fade into the mid-card people that's not going to get a whole lot of play in the next few months?
I would absolutely keep it on him because... The United States champion doesn't do anything for anybody, and he's somehow getting genuine use out of it.
Right.
So I would be really hesitant to.
Right. Take and the see, that's why that. I can. I'm I'm sure WWE is making a case for putting the belt on Miz, trying to solidify himself as a face, blah, blah, blah. Especially whenever they're, you know, they're trying to hand the Ric Flair torch to him. I mean, them doing all that would seem like a waste if they weren't going to put the belt on him.
Yeah.
I don't think it would do anyone any good, you know? It's not really going to help Miz because people are still kind of confused on how they feel about him.
Miz needs some ring time that's not Miz TV.
Right.
Like, he needs that, right. And he needs a real feud, which I think Cesaro's a fine person for him to have a real feud against.
Right. But we don't have that just yet. Like, they still need to build that some more.
So, I'm going to say keep it on, but I would like to see these guys actually fight some.
Right, yeah, if this led to something for the next few months, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Moving on to the tag team championship match, we have Team Friendship versus Cody Rhodes or Rhodes Scholars. Like I said in my column, if this was like a month or so ago, I would have definitely said that they were going to put the belts on Rhodes Scholars.
Yeah,
it seemed like they're really riding high on them, and it seemed like a lot of people were behind them. Now it seems like they've kind of given Team Friendship a shot in the arm these last two couple weeks.
Yeah.
And they're back on their high. So I think they're going to keep it on them for a little bit, which I'm okay with.
Keep it on them.
Keep it on them.
Run it into the ground.
Run it into the ground.
There's no integrity that you can ruin with this storyline.
No, because I mean they've already gone to this is the extreme, and it's
silly and ridiculous. Run it into the ground. Yeah, take this, milk it for all it's worth.
Right, and you know, and then have this match earlier in the night, and then throw Rhodes Scholars into the Rumble match, and everyone gets a solid showing.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it. have the last man standing match for the World Heavyweight Championship between Alberto Del Rio and Big Show. Hold on one second. I haven't given out any maths. I'm sorry. Pre-show, I'm going to give like two and a half maths. Tag team championship, I'm going to give like three. And go. Four for this World Heavyweight Championship.
You know what? In that time, I've forgotten who is.
Alberto Del Rio and Big Show, Last Man Standing. Which is, isn't that the match they had like a couple weeks ago for Del Rio to win the championship?
They didn't have a Last Man Standing match, did they?
That's why he buried Big Show under the table, didn't he? So he could do the count out. Like,
there was some stipulation where the count out moved it, but I don't remember if it. I don't think it was a
last. Fair enough. Like, it was one of those things. If it gets disqualified, he loses the belt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Because I feel like, and this is jumping ahead a little bit, but because I feel like the WWE Championship storyline between now and WrestleMania is so thoroughly like tied up.
Right.
It really feels like the World Heavyweight Championship storyline is not, and I'm kind of just waiting for Ziggler to cash in at this point.
Right.
And there have been recent rumors that Ziggler might be turning face sooner than later.
That's exactly what I was
thinking. Especially because apparently the New York crowd
are
really behind him, and they have Vince's ear because, you know, it's a New York crowd. And yeah,
that's Vince's backyard.
Yeah, and that's where Mania is taking place.
Yeah.
So if you want him to be booed at Mania, and
you have him cash in against Big Show.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If they're, you know, depending on if they want him to be a face or not at WrestleMania, depends on who he'll cash in on, who he'll feud on.
Right, and I mean,
which results in who's going to win at the Rumble.
Or there's that, and, you know, again, this could all happen at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I don't know if they would take the belt off of Del Rio just yet, because he just got it back. And he's a new face. And again, they're trying to solidify him as a face. Okay. So that's why I'm thinking it probably will more likely take place either at Elimination Chamber or even WrestleMania. Who knows?
No.
You know, because we haven't seen anyone cash in at WrestleMania. We've never seen anyone do that. And again, it's New York crowd. Maybe he starts the show, like, kind of face Tennessee's leading up to it, kind of gets people behind him. And then he, boom, does it at WrestleMania. The crowd would go insane.
Yeah.
I would go insane. But that's just me. And you would probably do the same.
That'd be okay.
you'd be nurtured about it. Like, all right, that's...
That happened. I acknowledge that. Yes.
But as far as this match goes...
I'll say Del Rio. Plus, like, the Rumble is never a big one for belts changing hands.
And you know, it's one of those interesting things where, like we've seen in the years past, it's one of those things where they would usually have the challenger be someone who usually isn't in the main event picture.
A mid card getting his shot to really see how he does on that stage.
Absolutely. I would probably say Del Rio, just for the simple fact that he hasn't had it that long, and they're still trying to establish things with him. I don't know how he's going to have Big Show get knocked out for, it looks like they're probably going to dump a whole bunch of water on him, from what I've seen recently, or at least some confetti, maybe tar and feather him, I don't know, something wacky.
Something heavy's falling on him. Alberto's not just going to beat him into submission.
And it's just a side note, can we never have Sheamus dance around a sombrero again? That was painful. The Fiesta Del Rio.
Yeah.
The whole thing was just like, okay, all right, we get it. Can we not play up ethnicities so heavily?
Thanks.
Thanks for that, I guess. I would like to see the return of the duct tape feet.
Duct tape feet, best last man standing match move.
Fantastic.
Ever.
It's the one time where I emphatically cheered Cena because that was fantastic.
That and explaining why he wears shorts to wrestle. Cena's top moments in his career.
What was the...
In case he gets a phone call in the middle of a match. Do you remember he got a phone call, like when he was busy talking to somebody?
I vaguely remember
it was at the.
I remember it happening, I couldn't remember what the reasoning was.
It was at the
very... I remember you were so happy about it.
It was at the very beginning of when he started talking to the camera every time he comes out. And it was, like, Neil's, like, second episode that he'd ever watched. And he was, like, he was just complaining nonstop about, why is he wrestling in jean shorts? That's the dumbest thing.
Right.
And then, like, very next episode, seems like, this is why I wrestle in jean shorts, in case I get a phone call. I was like, there you go. Question asked, question answered.
But I feel like he would go through so many phones that way. Wrestling, especially at all those, you know, like, extreme... Do you think a phone survived the match with Brock Lesnar?
He wrestles with a Nokia.
Well played, right here.
That's how he won the match with Brock Lesnar.
I can't even... Point made, we'll move on. I will give this match 2 stars. Who cares? I'm still trying to get my mind around that. Now we have the WWE Championship match, what everyone's been talking about, Punk versus Rock, with the added stipulation that Vince himself added in, is that if the Shield interferes in the match, Punk will be stripped of the title. So, what you thinking?
The Rock.
Yeah, we know how it's going to end, okay? Let's accept it and enjoy it
Okay, I'm going to enjoy the match because these guys are going to put on a fantastic match.
That's the thing you need to focus on. Punk has had the title way longer than any of us really thought he would have, okay? Yeah. Let's take joy in that, okay?
I'm really trying. I really am.
I know.
But at this point, Punk's title reign is akin to the streak where beating Punk will automatically... be a feather in your cap.
Right.
The Rock just has feathers now. He has no cap left. Like, he doesn't need any more feathers in his cap.
Question. Are you trying to imply that The Rock is the gobbledygooker.
Whatever floats your boat.
Okay.
Whatever floats your Photoshop.
Or at least some sort of chicken suit.
Yes. The Rock is wearing a chicken suit.
Or maybe that was maybe he uses the feathers for his tooth fairy wings.
Sure.
Okay. I'm on board now.
So, I'm fine with CM Punk losing. I'm not expecting CM Punk to be champion forever. I'm fine with him losing. It doesn't really feel like it needs to be The Rock. I would have almost rather Punk lost in December and then regained the title just so Ryback would have that I have broken the streak.
Right. You would think it would be better served for a younger uprising guy. For the same reason we've been wanting, you know, someone to beat Cena kind of thing.
Yeah.
For the same reason we wanted Cena to beat Rock last year at WrestleMania.
Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a big fan of torches getting passed here.
Right. There's been a lot of torches that are just chilling on the ground right now.
Yeah. Here's the one way that I can think of, and maybe they'll surprise me and bring away that I'll be okay. Here's the one way I can think of that I would be okay with the Rock winning is have, so, you know, they're fighting, they have their beautiful 30-minute match that they're going to have, you know, right at the end, and Shield comes out. As we're kind of expecting something Shieldy to happen.
Right.
And that's the thing. That's the other thing. If Punk wins, it'll most likely be due to interference of some kind. Wins. Overpoweringly physically. Like, that will be a way to try and keep the heat on Punk.
Okay.
And, you know, is with Shield interference. But, so Shield comes out and are basically lumberjacking.
Oh, okay. So not actually getting involved, but just being a presence.
So they're doing that, and Cole and Lawler, I'm like, they can't touch the ring, because then...
So, they'll remind us, like, 5 times.
Yeah. Like they do, and then they, you know, jump on the ring, climb in, and Rock's all super nervous, you know, doing the thing where they're all surrounding him, and they all turn and attack Punk. And Rock was the sword leader of the Shield the whole time. Rock turns heel.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't see it happening at all.
It's good to
know. But it'd be interesting.
It'd be interesting. It would be a classic Vince swerve kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think Rock is kind of beyond that at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
They're like, we wouldn't really risk. But I, to be honest with you, I think a lot of fans would just be like, good. I love Rock. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I still love Rock. You know, like, we're going to get those fans regardless. So...
Well, I'm going to cheer Punk forever.
Well, yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
And I'll probably cheer Rock forever, you know?
Oh, like, yeah. I mean, I still dig Rock. I think his promo skills are, like, a decade too old.
Yeah, no, they are.
Right. And, you know, you get kind of tired of the greatest hits every now and then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I still like the guy. He's still incredibly fun to watch in the ring. I feel like, heel or face, he's going to get a lot of reaction from the crowd.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think there's more of a chance of them playing with Rock's character more with the fact that they're not in Miami this year.
Well, they're not in Miami. And theoretically, Rock is going to be there every week for the next couple of months.
So they're going to have to do something interesting. They're going to have to do something different for him, otherwise he's going to be doing the same thing. Like, we're going to get another Rock coming out with a, you know, by himself and doing a solo promo and running through the bingo card. Right. And then we're going to get another Rock concert, and, you know, that's just going to keep continuing between every pay-per-view until WrestleMania.
Right.
So they're going to have to figure out something different for him to do. I don't think we're going to see him every Raw.
I mean, I don't either.
Between here and there.
But, again...
Especially, you know, between Chamber and Mania.
But, again, I'm too busy for the WWE to be there every month, even though I'm champion. Nice heel move.
It is a very good heel move. It is a fantastic heel move if they...
If they could ever do it. That's the thing, is there's not... You know, they're not going to turn the Rock heel.
Another outcome that you can't rule out is some sort of Braddock's running. Especially now that he's good with Heyman. Which is something I really wasn't expecting.
And not technically sure. I'm excited. I was a little worried for Braddock's that he
I thought they were like, okay, they don't really know where they're going with
this. Kind of hit this one and done thing.
Right.
Where now
It seemed like they kind of had a plan.
And he got quickly overshadowed by the Shield, but...
Right.
I mean, if there's a Braddock's thing. And then... And, okay, this is also, if you have this one be the highlight, let me totally say all of those words again, but put them in order that they make sense. You have the Rumble next to last, and you have this be your main event. And you have Braddock's interfere, attack the Rock, low blow the Rock, Punk gets the pin, then you have Rock... You know, saying, Shield interference, I'm champion. CM Punk saying, not the Shield, I'm champion. And end it with some sort of tug of war over the belt. Which lead you to next Monday as to who's the champion now.
Spin a wheel.
Probably so.
it's one of those things where it would be interesting. I would really, it's one of those matches where, it's a dream match that we've wanted for a while. And typically we would like it to end cleanly. But we also have to keep in mind that they're setting up storyline for WrestleMania.
Right.
And setting up storyline for Elimination Chamber. You know, it's so easy to overlook Elimination Chamber. Like, they still have to get from point A to point C, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's the middle child of WWE. It is the middle WWE. Child,
and that's unfortunately gets overlooked because I love the Elimination Chamber. Dear Lord, that match is fun. Unless you're the World Heavyweight Championship match from last year. That was
unless you put Kali and Santino in the same match.
Right. And you have Big Show breaking into Daniel Bryan's pot. Which obviously was like either fake chain or it was like pre-cut or something.
Yeah,
that was way too. It was one of those things where, it seemed like the commentators were late to reacting to it.
Yeah,
they're like, "Oh, he's breaking in! Oops, we totally missed that because it looked pretty effortless." Oh well.
Somebody's yelling in their ear. Make a big deal out of this.
Yeah, it's Vince.
Yeah, that's my Vince impression.
Make a big deal out of it. Okay, Vince is the lead singer of Creed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't you know this?
The lyrics make much more sense now.
It's his side job.
Oh, yeah. Scott Staff is just the puppet lead singer.
Yeah.
But back to the match. I'm really excited. I'm giving it a full 5 maths because whatever the ending is, whether it be clean, whether it be a run-in or whatever, it's going to be interesting. It's going to set up a lot. And it's going to pretty much just... start off WrestleMania and stuff.
It'll be an automatic match of the year contender.
Right. Absolutely. So, there you go. Now for the actual Rumble match.
Okay.
First off, we know who's going to be either one or two. It's going to be Ziggler. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense, but seeing as how he already has a championship match firmly in his grip.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun showing for him. It would be interesting to see who... I'm assuming he's going to come out one.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it doesn't matter. One and two are equally
bad. But it would be really cool for one of those things where, you know, he goes out and there's a big surprise for number two for him, you know?
Yeah.
Personally, I think it would be interesting if Swagger came out. Big beard and all.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, that was one of the questions, is do you see anybody making surprise returns?
It's Swagger, if anyone, because he's already doing dark matches, and it's been a while since he took his leave.
Yeah.
And AJ's no longer GM, which is the main reason why he left in the first place.
Okay.
I would expect we would see Mark Henry, because it's about time for him to return. Even if he's not 100%, he could just come in, do his appearance.
You can definitely do... Mark Henry of old.
He went, 2-3 months with a groin injury?
Yeah.
The guy can handle, a few minutes in the... And then, you know, just have a big, powerful guy like Big E or something like that throw him over. That would do wonders for Big E.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, a match between the two of them might not be that bad. No. Whenever Mark Henry's
close to Mark Henry's ready for it.
Those are the ones I find most likely. I can't remember if there was anyone else I mentioned. Because, well, I mean, guys like Evan Bourne, he doesn't seem like he's ready yet.
Yeah.
They're not even sure if he's going to be ready for WrestleMania.
I mean...
And as injury prone as he is, you better not rush it.
Yeah. Evan Bourne, only if they don't want to give the crazy spot to Kofi again.
I mean, you kind of have to. Because, I mean, who else?
Yeah, I mean...
Because, I mean, you know, there was all this rumor about Shelton Benjamin coming back. That seems to have gone nowhere. It was pretty much just rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the only other option at this point would have been Tyson Kidd, but he's gone for the year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Unless they have a little bit more faith than Justin Gabriel, but I don't really see that happening.
I don't know. And especially... I mean, I'm assuming there will be... something akin to the Spider-Man jump and the handstand thing.
Right, because it seems like there's going to be something like that every year.
Yeah. You
know? Which I'm okay with.
No, I am. I don't know.
I'm just ready for one of those things to, like, go wrong and that person accidentally be eliminated. It's going to happen one year.
Yeah, no, it will. I don't know what else it would be. Because, like, after the Spider-Man thing, when we were talking about, like, we mentioned, like, what if somebody comes out and just doesn't touch their feet, you know, basically does a handstand.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's a pretty easy one to think of.
Right, and then before that, Rey Mysterio did the thing where there's a whole bunch of people, like, laid out on the apron, and he just used them as steps to get back in the ring.
Right.
You know?
So, I don't know. I don't know what's next.
Do you have any, like, surprise returns? What?
John Morrison.
It's always going to be John Morrison.
Always. I mean, here's the thing. If, there are always rumors that he's still on good terms and will be back someday. And a lot of recent ones have said he's ready to come back some point in 2013.
Where have you read that?
JohnMorrison.blogspot.com.
Please tell me you're kidding.
I am totally kidding.
So they're just random things that you found online or something?
Like, yeah, they pop up just in dirt sheets.
Are these the same people that said Shelton Benjamin was coming back?
I mean, yeah. So, you know,
are these the same people that told us that Randy Orton's taking time off right now? Right before WrestleMania.
For personal reasons? For, like, to feel better about his feelings. He really wanted to be the Marine 3. Didn't you know that? No, that's dirt sheet rumors. Like,
right.
They're sometimes accurate and sometimes completely not. So, I want the John Morrison ones to be accurate.
Of course.
If you brought back John Morrison, if you were going to bring back John Morrison, Rumble would be a nice time to do it.
It would. Oh, definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
You know, also...
Even for guys that they can only get, like, a one-night-only kind of deal with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, we had Tommy Dreamer on Raw not too long ago, you know, and now I saw pictures of him in the Bully Ray wedding.
Right.
You know, so, if they can work that kind of deal out with somebody, like, maybe not somebody that's in TNA, because it seems like they've been doing that a little bit too liberally.
Yeah.
Maybe a guy that's in, you know, just doing independence or something like that. Just a name. Like, I don't know, Chris Masters. you know, just throwing that out there. I like how we're both making cases for it.
I know.
Yeah.
Would you watch TNA if Chris Masters
ended up being one of Aces of Eights? You asked me that before. I told you I probably would. Just because I miss seeing.
Yep.
Another name that I'm forgetting to throw in as far as a return. Probably Christian. He sounds like he's ready to go.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while. I guess it was just another shoulder issue, I think.
Yeah.
It was something like that. And it was around that time when they worked the whole deal with TNA and all that stuff.
I'm trying to think. See, what I'm really trying to think of is somebody... Because these are all guys that, like, have had several months off, you know?
Right.
Except for Evan Bourne, who has had a year plus, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of, like... That level of... Because, like, you remember when, like, Cena returned? It was after a long absence, and when Edge returned, well, okay. Edge wasn't that long, but it was...
It was a pretty extended leave. Cena, if I remember correctly, it was one of those things where no one really was expecting him.
Yeah.
They were expecting him to be gone a lot longer.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where the fact that he was even there was a big surprise.
Right.
And I don't know, this is before I was really big into the internet community, so I don't know if there was a whole lot of rumors going on that he was going to be there or not.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it was a pretty legit surprise to everyone.
Like, most of the possibilities of surprise returns are not... They're not contenders, though, you know?
Right, not guys that we'd be like, oh, he's going to come in and definitely win.
And win, yeah. or this genuinely shakes up my guarantee Cena win.
Right.
Like, maybe Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, maybe, you know? Brock.
Like, if Brock came in, you know, I could see that happening.
Yeah.
But because every rumor is Brock and Triple H... Like, there's no reason to do it.
God, I really hope not.
I don't care for this. I am not looking forward to WrestleMania yet.
Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm sure that tune will change in a little bit.
I mean, it will.
Depending on how the pay-per-view
is
going to go.
At the end of the day, it's still WrestleMania. And WrestleMania is
right. Just... Like, that itself drums up a... good deal of excitement on its own.
Yeah.
So, both of us are pretty much begrudgingly saying Cena's winning.
Cena's winning.
Is the official prediction. But who do you think is going to be the overall MVP of the match? Because it always seems to be one guy who kind of takes control of the whole match, whether they win or even if they're in the top, the last four or anything.
Yeah.
Because, like, just as an example of what you're thinking... Like, a couple years ago when CM Punk came out early in the match, and this is back when he did the Straight Edge Society, and basically we cutting promos in between every guy.
Right.
He eliminated, and it was fantastic. You know, he right. didn't get all that far. I think he got through, like, half of the match. But it was fantastic, and he easily was the MVP.
I would say the... best for and while I still think Kofi's probably got the shoe in for the high spot,
right.
Unless somebody comes back. I would say Ziggler,
right?
You put him in early.
I would say him or Daniel Bryan.
And so,
you know,
yeah.
And again, it's one of those. I really want Kane to win one.
Yeah,
you know, it seems like this is like his. It's something about this the Rumble match that just. Brings out the best in Kane,
yeah.
You know? And I feel like it would be a travesty if he went his entire career and didn't win one, you know? And I know it doesn't seem that way in the stars this year or anything like that, but one day, I really like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would expect Kane to have a pretty decent showing again. Because it felt so weird to not have him in it last year.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what would you do with Kane being the winner?
I mean, they can put him back in the heavyweight spot because he was just in the heavyweight picture.
Has he
back? Like, it was the storyline before Edge went to Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah. I remember. It's just that Kane as champion naturally feels heelish to me, and I'm such a fan of Kane face.
Well, yeah, they could always explore that option.
I would like to see it happen with him still being a face. If Kane was champion, especially in like the twilight-ish of his career, I could definitely see a Brothers of Destruction streak versus championship match.
Yeah, because it was one of those things where, like, you know, we've seen them two square off lots of times.
Yeah,
but it still feels like that would be a good way for at least one of them to go out.
Yeah,
don't know which one, but
I mean. You still feel like, part of it is Undertaker is most likely at about one match a year,
right?
For the rest of his life, but you still feel like there. I do. I don't know if you do, and probably a lot of people don't actually. But I still feel like there is a Kane Undertaker story left to to do.
Right.
And...
because the last one just felt like...
yeah, like no, that's not how I want
to
end it.
And a lot of it was because Taker got hurt, and they were like, okay, we need to shelf him until WrestleMania. And that was the big reason why I didn't think Taker looked all that good that WrestleMania, because he, you know, he was still... he had to still, you know, feel some effects from the previous one. Just an interesting note. Kane is only... or Glenn Jacobs... the actual guy is only 2 years younger than Undertaker.
Really?
He's still doing, and this is a guy that I thought for sure it was like 2 years ago that I thought he was about to leave. Back when he had that 2-3 month run against Taker.
No, I remember that.
This is
there was the moment like Taker was like summoning the forces of darkness, and we're like, this is it. This is, we're watching the Kane's career end right here at the hands of Taker.
Right.
Which,
and you know, and you know, he took that extended time off after, you know, he shook hands with Randy. And then he took that extended time or a few months off, and then he came back with a mask. We're like, oh, all right. So, what are we doing here? And I never would have expected he would still be going a full schedule after, and that was a good like a year, and yeah, almost
it was,
a year.
It was
a
after
year
26, and, yeah,
about 13 months. He's yeah. gone full schedule for the last 13 months, and that's, it blows my mind that he's doing that, and then Taker is taking years off.
Yeah.
Between matches.
Well, I think Taker's body is a lot closer to broken than...
Well, oh yeah, and I mean...
And to be fair, Kane is not doing the most strenuous of work right now.
Right now, yeah. But I mean, like, as far as, like, the type of strenuous matches, pretty sure both can pretty much, you know, they're right at each other level.
But yeah, I gotta say, like, Kane seriously held his own in an extended feud with Brian and Punk.
Oh yeah,
over the summer.
Oh yeah, and he can still, like, you know, he might have like lost a step or two, but he can still go.
Yeah,
like it's nobody's business.
And like. And who would end Kane's career if not Undertaker?
It would have to be.
Unless
he just kind of left quietly.
Unless he leaves quietly. I mean, that's the only way to end it. And that's the thing is, like,
that doesn't feel like deserving of that character. Like, his character deserves to go out in a bang kind of thing. You know, both guys, both Taker and Kane.
Yeah.
You know, whether that is, you know, going out as a hero or, you know, just ending the character and somehow, I don't know. But I feel like he deserves something massive.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, Taker's ended careers before. And that felt worthy for Shawn Michaels.
Oh, absolutely. Like, so, you know, it seems like a high honor when somebody that high up and that well-respected is the one that ends your career. Same thing with Ric Flair's supposed retirement from Shawn Michaels. Like, that, it felt like that was a huge compliment. And, you know, the fact that someone of Ric Flair's caliber would be like, I want this guy to end my career. Like, that's a compliment to the other guy as well. Same thing with Undertaker. It's a huge compliment for him to essentially be chosen to end another legend's career.
Yeah. So,
Sheamus must have felt the same way when he ended Jamie Noble's career. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure.
Absolutely. Jamie Noble should feel like a proud, proud little man as he races to break up a fight.
Selected by Sheamus.
Sheamus.
Alright, I think that's about it for me.
That's about it. We need to do maths for the Rumble match. I'm gonna go with a extensive 6 maths.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's the Rumble match. Just because it's the Rumble match.
I'm gonna go with 29 maths. One for every entrant that is not Cena.
Right here. Another high five. That was fantastic.
As always, please follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. Get lots of wrestling chit chat. And as always, we tweet through Raw every Monday.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, hate mail, love mail, we'll take it all. You can send those to classyringattire@gmail.com.
We have a Tumblr, classyringattire.tumblr.com. where you can find old episodes of this podcast, as well as other wrestling shenanigans and plenty of wrestling commentary.
And if you are listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. We love the Inside Pulse.
Yep. And finally, we are on iTunes. You can find us there. Woo-hoo. So click us up. Click us up.
Click us up. Whatever that means. We have one review up there.
All right. Yeah, give us a review. Subscribe. You get new episodes right to you every week.
5 stars.
5 stars would be nice. Thank you much, Lee. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.